Our first speaker is like, he's so happy. Because in 255 days and 2 hours and 45 minutes, all of greater grace will descend on his city for Eurocon 2018 in Warsaw. So... that's March 6th through 10th. There'll be some things going on around that also. I think a trip to Auschwitz, right? We're going to plan like an outing to Auschwitz. It's probably something we should all see. It really, I think that would really bring home the idea of human depravity. So that's from March 6th through 10th to the actual conference in Warsaw. Details are available about that. So you can plan now to be in Europe for Eurocon 2018. And so I just want to welcome Pastor Maciek, the pastor there. He'll be hosting us, and he's here to give us a little word this morning.
Hello. I can teach you some Polish words. Can you repeat Dzień dobry? When you repeat the next one, you will be ready for Eurocon. So listen. W Szczebrzeszynie chrząszcz brzmi w Trzcinie. You're not ready yet. But you have 260 something days to learn. W Szczebrzeszynie chrząszcz brzmi w Trzcinie. Okay. It's so good to be here. Thank you, Pastor Gary. I took your Bible because I thought using my inspired Polish Bible is too early for you. So I wasn't mistaken. Thank you. Well, I don't know how to start, but I will start that I'm really thankful that I can be here. And it's like one of the like highlight of my whole year that I can be here. So, wow. Thank you. Okay. I want to read just one small verse from 1 Samuel 8:20. And first part of this verse. We want to be like all the nations. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that we can be here. And please bless this word in your holy name, we ask. Amen. We will go back to this verse, but we heard so many times during this week this verse from Psalm 61:3, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, when I see this picture here, it's like I was thinking that I want to do it, so I will do it. You know, it's so good that we can climb up the mountains. We can go and be at the mountains. And it's, you know, I really love mountains, and when I was like 40 pounds younger, I was doing this more often. Let's put it like that. But it's so great that when you are at the top of the mountains, you're standing on the rock, everything that you see down there, it's so small. It's look like, you know, it's like it's so, all the problems, everything is like really small. Because we are stand on the rock. We are saved there. We are kept in his arms. And we are changed by him. I remember this story when Moses went up to the mountains and he was changed by God. But everyone on the feet of the mountain, they just start making God in their own image. But we have this privilege that we can be at the mountain. And this is so good because when I think about Israel, his story, their story, we know that God gave them judges to rule over the nation, because he said that I will be your king. But you know, when Samuel was old, people came to him and they said, well, you know what, your sons are not doing really well. They don't walk the right ways. So can you appoint a king over us? And of course, Samuel didn't like it. And he went to God. Where else he should go? And God said in 1 Samuel 8:7, he said, they not rejected you, but they rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And then God gave all this warning, you know, if you want to have a king, he will act as a king. He will rule over you. You will have to pay taxes. You will do all the stuff that he wants from you. Why you want a king? But in this verse, 1 Samuel 8:20, they said, because we want to be like other nations. We want to be like others. We see around all the nations that are there, and we want to be like them. And it's like, for me, the problem is that God didn't want them to be like other nations. Because he said, I am your king. You are my nation. And your heavenly Father don't want you to be like others, because he made you unique. He wants you to stand on the rock and live there, not to be like others, like other nations. And you know what? Living down, like at the bottom of the mountains, is kind of difficult, because we are making gods in our image. There's so many gods in this world here. And you know, recently I just realized that there is one new sickness in this world. It's called, I don't know how you say it in English, but it's called FOMO. It's the first letter of the sentence, fear of missing out. You know, you know, people look around and they are feared that they are missing something. There's so many things around. And actually the recent study said that people use, like they touch their smartphones, like, I don't know if you believe that, but more than 2,700 times a day. Because they can't stand that maybe something is missing in my life. Maybe something is going around and I'm missing this. I want to be like others. I want to be with others. I want to be like other people. But you know what? Wow. God doesn't want us to be like others. He wants to be our king. He set us on the rock and he said, that's your place. And you know, sometimes we look around and we think that life is like, sorry for saying it, but that life is like beer commercial. Did you ever mention, in those commercials, everyone is so happy. There is always sun. No one is working because they all the time have fun. I mean, they don't have death. You know, like nothing, just fun. But reality is so different. My son once told me, it's too bad they don't show the what's going on in the next day after those, what we see on those commercials. But reality is different. We see, like, they saw the different nations and they was, wow, we want to be like them. But when we see those people, we see only the best. We don't see what is behind the closed door. We don't see pain, trouble, sicknesses. Usually we see only what is the best from them. And, you know, people, it's so true that people are so unhappy in their lives because they are so busy for getting the things that they don't have yet, that they don't even enjoy the things that they already have. It's a That's why I love what Joshua said in 23rd chapter, when he was going out and he was speaking to the nation, and he said in verse 6 through 13, he said, "You are in the promise. You know, in promised land there will be a lot. There is a lot of nations, but don't mix with them. Don't look around. Don't make any covenants with them. Look at God. Look at Him. Because when you will look around and you will be mixed with other nations, you will perish." That's what he said. And is it like that things that we set our eyes on, those are things that will lead our steps? That's why it's so important to look at Jesus. And, you know, it's so amazing because he said in the verse 8, "Cleave unto the Lord your God." Look at him. He sets you on the mountains. He sets you on the rock. Just look at him. And you know, for me, when I said that this conference is like highlight of my year, it's like I feel here like in Noah's Ark, safe. And then there is only one window to look up on Jesus. Because he is a finisher of everything in my life. He starts and he will finish. And it's so great that I can be here. And, you know, the word will say, you know, you go following God, you're missing something. If you say yes to God, you will have to say no to so many things. But reality is that those things will destroy us. You know, that's why it's so important that we look at Him. Look at Him. You know, it's, Paul said that, you know, I had everything. I was someone, but now everything is garbage compared to getting to know Jesus. That's the most important in my life. And that's why I think, and during this convention, God showed me that the only way that I should look around is to look for souls. You know, to look around and say, wow, there are lost souls there. And I don't want to be like them. I want to bring gospel to them. And I want them to live also on the rock, to be there with me. You know, it's... and that's what we're trying to do in Warsaw. And hopefully you will come and see by yourself. Because, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. That's our goal, to give people what we already have. Amen.
Just have a question. If we're all in the ark, which 8 of us are the people? Just a question. That's where my mind went with that, you know. Would you stand up and just pretend you've been drawn into the ark? You know, you just came, you know. Do like one of your Sunday school things, a little elephant thing, whatever. You want to do that? I want to welcome our next speaker, who comes to us from the amazing city of Paris, where he has been ministering for how long? 25 years next February? 25 years in Paris. 25 years in Paris. It's amazing. Would you welcome Pastor Michel Texier?
Bonjour à toutes et à tous.
Good morning to everyone.
Je pensais tout à l'heure en regardant cette salle.
As I was looking at this room,
le travail que Dieu a fait dans ma vie à cet endroit.
It's amazing to think the work that God has done in my own life in this place.
Presque chaque année.
Every year.
le travail de Dieu au travers de la parole,
the work of God through the word of God,
la communion,
fellowship,
et la vision aussi
and
pour
the vision
la mission.
For the missions.
C'est drôle qu'un endroit particulier puisse autant toucher votre vie.
It's amazing to think that this one particular place can touch so many of you, so much of your life.
Ce sont quelques mètres carrés, mais
just a few square feet, but a lot.
Ça élargit vraiment notre vision.
It really enlarges our vision.
Et je pense que ça l'a fait pour beaucoup de monde.
And I think it happened. The same thing happened for a lot of people.
J'aimerais que nous lisions un extrait de Zacharie chapitre 4.
So I'd like to read from Zechariah chapter 4.
Et nous allons lire les versets 6 à 10.
Things verse 6 through 10. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the days of small things? Since the seven eyes of the Lord that runs throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel.
Prions ensemble.
Let's pray together.
Père Céleste, merci pour ta parole.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word.
Et Seigneur, en ce dernier jour de conférence, on te demande encore de toucher notre cœur.
And on this last day of our convention, we ask you to touch our heart once more, one more time.
En ton nom,
and we pray in your name.
Amen.
Amen.
On va revenir sur ce passage tout à l'heure.
So we'll come back to this passage.
Mais avant, j'aimerais un petit peu dans quel contexte il a été écrit.
But I would like first to explain the context in which it's been written.
À cause de sa désobéissance, le peuple d'Israël a été déporté à Babylone.
So, because of the disobedience of the people, they were deported to Babylon.
Et là, ils sont dans un processus où ils sont en train de revenir en terre promise.
And they are in the process of actually going back to the promised land.
La plupart d'entre eux, de ces personnes, ne connaissaient pas le temple et la ville de Jérusalem.
And most of those people actually never experienced and never knew the Jerusalem or even the temple.
Puisque l'exil a duré à peu près 70 ans.
The exile lasted for over 70 years.
Et donc le peuple avait entendu parler de la ville sainte.
So they heard about the holy city.
Et sans doute qu'on leur avait parlé aussi du temple de Salomon.
And maybe they heard about the
la majesté
temple.
De ce bâtiment.
The majesty of the building.
La Shekinah qui devait apparaître régulièrement.
The Shekinah glory of God that just came in.
Et donc ce peuple commence à revenir.
So the people start to come back.
Le problème c'est que lorsqu'ils arrivent dans la ville, une grande déception s'installe.
But when they arrive to the city, they are very disappointed.
Pourquoi?
Why?
Parce que la ville est complètement en ruine.
Because the city is totally in ruins.
Et non seulement la ville, mais le temple en particulier.
Not only the city, but the temple itself is in ruins.
Ce temple de Salomon, qui contenait énormément de pierres, de briques.
And this temple of Solomon, we had a lot of bricks and stones.
Était devenu un endroit où les populations environnantes allaient chercher des pierres pour construire leur propre maison.
Became a place where the surrounding people came and took stones away to build their own buildings.
Et donc il y avait un chantier énorme à faire.
So the work to be done was enormous.
Il fallait tout reconstruire.
They had to do everything from scratch.
Et c'est ce qui se passe un petit peu dans notre vie parfois.
And it has what happens in our lives sometimes.
Si peut-être on s'écarte un petit peu de notre communion avec Dieu.
Because sometimes we're drifting away from our communion with God, fellowship with God.
Et donc on veut revenir vers Dieu.
And we want to come back.
Et puis on s'aperçoit que finalement la vie n'est pas si facile que ça.
And we realize that life is not that easy.
On pense que ce qu'on a abandonné n'était pas facile.
We thought that, you know, what we abandoned was not easy.
On n'était pas heureux avec ça.
We were not very happy with that.
Mais maintenant qu'on revient vers Dieu, on s'aperçoit qu'il y a beaucoup d'impossibilités aussi.
But when we come back to God, we realize there is a lot of impossibilities and obstacles.
Et comme on a du mal à penser correctement avec Dieu,
and because we cannot really think correctly with God,
on pense
point.
Que si on fait quelque chose de bien, on va être récompensé. Il va y avoir Dieu nous doit quelque chose.
We think that okay, if I do something good, then God will owe me something back.
Et puis là, ils s'aperçoivent que c'est pas du tout le cas.
And they actually realize this is not the case.
Il y a des défis.
There are challenges.
Il y a des ennemis.
There are enemies.
Et donc le peuple est découragé et abandonne cette idée de reconstruire le temple.
So the people really he's discouraged and abandons the idea to rebuild the temple.
Et c'est pour ça que le livre de Agé nous parle. Agé encourage le peuple et même reprend le peuple pour leur dire de reconstruire le temple.
That's the whole point of the book of Haggai, who is actually exhorting and rebuking the people to encourage them to build the temple.
Et donc le peuple obéit et commence le chantier pour reconstruire le temple.
So the people start to obey and they actually start to rebuild the temple.
Et c'est pour encourager le peuple que le livre de Zacharie a été écrit.
And once that had been started, the book of Zechariah was actually written to encourage the people to continue.
Ce qui est intéressant parce que ce qu'on a entendu tout à l'heure où le peuple voulait être comme les autres nations.
We just heard from Pastor Maciek that you know the people wanted to be like other nations.
Et parfois quand on vient avec Dieu, à Dieu, on revient aussi avec nos propres concepts humains.
And when we come back to God, we come back with our own, you know, human concepts.
Et donc nous listons pas correctement les priorités.
So we don't really have the right priorities.
Là le peuple avait tendance à reconstruire ses propres maisons.
So the people started, okay, we need to build our own houses first.
Éventuellement, on le voit dans le livre de Néhémie, reconstruire les murailles.
And at some point, we see that in the book of Nehemiah, they are rebuilding the wall.
Et puis le temple, ça se ferait dans un troisième temps.
And in the third time, maybe the third priority will be the temple.
Mais Dieu demande exactement le contraire.
But God is asking the exact opposite.
Dieu demande de construire d'abord le temple.
God is asking first to build the temple.
Et puis après, on verra.
And then we'll see.
Et c'est pas logique.
It's not logical.
Parce que la ville n'est pas protégée.
Because without the wall, there is no protection.
Le quotidien n'est pas protégé.
The daily life is not protected.
Mais vous savez, quand on revient à Dieu,
but when we come back to God,
le plus important à considérer, c'est l'adoration et la communion avec lui.
The most important things to consider is relationship and worship.
Peu importe ce qui, je dirais pas un peu importe, mais oui, il y a encore des difficultés dans notre vie.
Yes, we still have challenges in our lives.
Peut-être qu'il y a encore des conséquences de nos mauvaises décisions.
Maybe we are still living through consequences of our wrong decisions.
Mais même si ces choses ne sont pas encore en ordre,
but even if those things are not totally squared away,
ça ne nous empêche pas d'adorer.
It does not prevent us to worship.
Ça ne nous empêche pas de nous approcher de Dieu.
It does not prevent us to go closer to God.
Ça ne nous empêche pas d'être en communion avec le Saint des Saints.
And it does not prevent us to be in fellowship with the Holy of Holies.
Faut bien comprendre que dans la tête du peuple, ils vivaient encore dans la culpabilité de ce qu'ils avaient fait.
Well, you need to remember that you know the people is still living through the, with the guilt of what they have done in the past.
Et en plus, alors que le temple est en ruine,
and as the temple is in ruins,
ils peuvent pas célébrer le culte.
They cannot really celebrate any kind
pas
of real worship. There is no sacrifice
pas
possible.
Pas de prêtres qui sont en place.
There is no priest.
Et donc il y a cette idée que Dieu n'est pas avec eux.
They are thinking maybe God is not with us.
Ils sont revenus en terre promise.
They came back to the promised land.
Mais ils ne peuvent pas adorer Dieu.
But they cannot worship God.
Et donc Dieu donne à Zacharie une vision au chapitre 3.
So in chapter 3, God gives Zechariah a vision.
C'est cette vision qu'on connaît beaucoup d'entre nous parce que Pastor Stevens a beaucoup prêché là-dessus.
And we know this a lot of us because we heard Pastor Stevens preach a lot about this.
C'est qu'on voit le sacrificateur Josué qui est dans une cour de justice.
We see the high priest, Joshua, the high priest, in a court.
Et Josué est sur le banc des accusés.
And Joshua is being accused. He's on the bench.
Et il ne parle pas.
He doesn't say anything.
Il a des vêtements sales.
He has dirty garments.
Le terme utilisé en hébreu là parle vraiment de tout ce qui est impur et qui mérite la peine de mort.
And really,
selon
the word
la loi.
That is used in the law would be to something to describe something that is so impure that it would deserve to be to be killed, to death.
Or, si le souverain sacrificateur est impur,
well, if the high priest is impure,
le peuple est impur.
The people is impure.
Parce que le culte est impossible.
Because the service or the worship,
il n'y a pas intermédiaire entre Dieu et l'homme.
Then he cannot be the mediator because God and man.
Et ce qui est intéressant dans l'attitude de Josué, c'est qu'il garde le silence.
What is amazing with Joshua in that situation is that he keeps silent.
Vous savez, quand on revient à Dieu,
when we come back to God,
n'essayons jamais de nous justifier.
Never try, let's never try to justify ourselves.
N'essayons jamais non plus de nous accuser plus qu'il ne faut.
Let's not also be tempted to accuse ourselves more than it's needed.
Gardons le silence.
Let's just keep silent.
Et pensons à ce que notre avocat peut dire.
And let's meditate and think of what our advocate is actually saying.
C'est-à-dire que s'approcher de Dieu, c'est avoir les pensées de notre avocat en nous approchant de Dieu.
You know, getting close to God is being equipped with the thoughts of our advocate.
Et l'avocat va parler.
And the advocate will speak.
Et l'Éternel va parler.
And the Lord will speak.
Et il va dire, enlevez-lui les vêtements sales.
And he will say, take away dirty garments.
Et c'est ce que Dieu a fait à la croix.
This is what God did at the cross.
Il a enlevé notre iniquité par la mort.
He took our iniquity through death.
C'est la mort à la croix qui est la solution.
It's the death at the cross that is the solution.
La certitude que nous avons, d'avoir été jugés en Christ.
We know with certainty that we have been judged through Christ.
Nous pouvons librement plaider coupable.
We can plead guilty.
Mais nous allons être délivrés par l'œuvre de Christ.
But we have been delivered by the work of Christ.
Et l'Éternel dit ensuite, mettez-lui des habits de fête.
So the Lord says and goes on and says, giving new garments, garments for a feast.
C'est intéressant parce qu'en hébreu, ça signifie littéralement des habits qu'on enlève.
It's literally when you look at the Hebrew, it actually says clothes that you actually take off.
C'est bizarre parce que de mettre à quelqu'un des habits qu'on enlève, ça n'a pas de sens.
It doesn't mean anything really because clothe him with clothes that he takes off.
Et en fait, ça parle des habits de fête ou de mariage qu'on ne met qu'une seule fois.
And it actually means that it is speaking about garments that you only use once.
Hein, quand une mariée se marie, elle porte sa robe et elle ne va pas la remettre après.
Like a bride is getting married, she actually has a robe or a dress that she will never use again.
Mais elle la garde dans l'armoire parce que ça lui fait penser à ce jour mémorable, c'était la fête.
But she keeps it in the closet as a remembrance. You know, this was an amazing day.
Mais ce que Dieu nous donne, c'est un habit qu'on va porter tous les jours.
But God gives us a dress, a garment that we can wear every day.
Tous les jours, ce sera cet habit de fête.
Because every day, this is a new garment of feast.
C'est un jour de fête aujourd'hui parce que j'ai la justice de Dieu sur
today,
ma vie.
Today, this is a feast because I do have the righteousness of God in
Et
my life.
Et c'est pour ça que je peux adorer Dieu.
And this is why I can worship God.
Peu importe ce que j'ai fait il y a 70 ans.
No matter what I did 70 years ago.
Peu importe le chantier en ruine qui est devant moi.
No matter the ruins in front of me,
je suis dans la volonté de Dieu.
I am in the will of God,
parce que dans les cieux,
because in heaven,
je peux adorer par l'Esprit.
I can worship through the Spirit.
Je suis en paix avec Dieu.
I am in peace with God,
parce que j'ai mon avocat.
Because I have my advocate.
Et c'est formidable parce que dans le verset 5, il y a quelque chose de très inhabituel.
It's amazing because in verse 5 here, there's something unusual.
C'est Zacharie qui reçoit cette vision.
So Zachariah receives the vision.
Et puis, il intervient dans la vision.
But he is actually interacting in the vision.
Normalement, quand on reçoit une vision, on se tait et puis on reçoit de Dieu et on ne bouge pas, on est comme prostré.
You know, when there is a vision, you're so in awe that you're not saying anything.
Mais qu'est-ce que dit Zacharie?
What is Zachariah saying?
Mettez-lui un turban sur la tête.
Put him, you know, chapter 4, put him something on his head, like a turban on his head.
Au chapitre 3, verset 5.
3, 5.
Zachariah, et 3, qu'est-ce 5. Que c'est que ce turban?
What is this turban?
C'est le turban
about?
Que le prêtre avait sur la tête.
It is the thing that the high priest was wearing on his
head.
Où
il y a marqué sainteté à l'Éternel.
And it says holiness to the Lord on it.
Et ça, c'est la façon dont on se voit.
And this is the way we see each other.
Dieu nous donne le robe de justice.
God gives us a garment of righteousness.
Mais nous, on donne le turban les uns aux autres.
But we give each other this turban.
Tu es purifié.
You are purified.
Tu es saint.
You are holy.
Tu es racheté.
You are redeemed.
Tu es parfait en Christ.
You are perfect in Christ.
Tu es aimé de Dieu.
You are loved by God.
Tu as un appel.
You have a call.
Tu as une vision.
You have a vision.
Tu as une destinée.
You have a destiny.
Et donc on met un turban sur nos têtes,
so
les uns aux autres.
This on each other's heads.
Parce qu'on se voit selon ce que Dieu a fait dans notre
Because
vie.
Because we see each other with what Christ has done in our lives.
D'où l'importance de ces rassemblements.
This is why those gatherings
où on est de nouveau
important.
Édifié dans notre nouvelle nature.
Because we need to be built up in our new nature.
Sainteté à l'Éternel.
Holiness to the Lord.
Mais Seigneur,
But Lord,
tu te souviens pas de mes vêtements sales?
You don't remember my filthy garments?
Dieu dit, je te les ai enlevés définitivement.
No, I took them away forever.
Tu es saint pour moi.
You are holy for me.
Tu es mis à part pour
you
moi.
You are set aside.
Je t'aime.
I love you.
Et ça, c'est notre identité.
This is our identity.
L'identité, c'est pas le temple à reconstruire.
Though, so my identity is not the work to be done.
C'est pas les affaires à régler.
This is not the things.
C'est pas laisser effacer les erreurs.
This is not try to erase my mistakes.
Notre identité, c'est d'être dans la présence de Dieu.
My identity is to be in the presence
Maintenant,
of God now.
C'est un jour de fête aujourd'hui.
Today is a feast.
Parce que aujourd'hui, j'ai accès à Dieu.
Because today I can have an access to God.
Et je décide de fêter ça.
And I decide to feast on this.
Et donc, j'adore Dieu
so I worship God
pour ce qu'il m'a donné.
For what he has given me.
Et puis ensuite, on va construire, c'est vrai.
And then, of course, we end up being actually involved in building.
Il y aura le processus de sanctification.
Through the process of sanctification.
Et on va œuvrer pour Dieu.
We are going to work for
Il y a des
God.
Choses qui vont s'arranger. Dieu va répondre à nos prières.
God will answer our prayers.
Et on va construire un temple.
And we are in a certain way we are building the temple.
Et c'est là où on arrive au chapitre 4.
And this is where we get to chapter 4.
Où il est dit au verset 7.
Verse 7.
Il posera la pierre principale au milieu des acclamations.
He will bring the capstones to shouts of God bless it, God bless it.
Vous savez, tout au long de la semaine, on a parlé du fait qu'on est sur le roc, on est assis sur le roc ou debout sur le roc, on est fondé dans le roc.
You know, through the half the week, we heard about how we are on the rock, sitting on the rock, strongly on the rock.
Et c'est vrai que c'est notre foi en Christ qui est matérialisée par la pierre de l'angle, qui est le début de l'œuvre de Christ.
And it is true that our faith in Christ is understood, is seen through the cornerstone that we talk about, that is the beginning of the building.
Et cette pierre était importante à l'époque parce que quand on construisait un bâtiment,
and that cornerstone was very important at the time because when we were building something,
les pierres avaient des fois quelques défauts.
Some stones obviously were not perfect.
Mais là, on choisissait une pierre parfaite parce que c'était à partir d'elle qu'on construisait tout l'édifice.
But the cornerstone had to be perfect because on that cornerstone everything would be built.
Et donc, on posait les pierres à partir de celle-là pour que les murs soient droits.
So for the walls to be straight, then the cornerstone had to be perfect because we used that as a measurement to start the walls.
Mais on doit reconnaître, alors que nous avançons dans la vie chrétienne,
but as we go on in our Christian life, we have to acknowledge,
même si la pierre d'angle est parfaite,
even if we have a perfect cornerstone,
on se retrouve des fois avec des murs un peu bizarres au bout de quelques années.
Sometimes our walls are a little bit twisted and wobbly.
Là, le bâtiment a l'air de tenir.
So the building here looks like
des fois,
okay.
Ça part un peu dans tous les sens.
But sometimes, you know, it doesn't look.
Il est comme déstructuré.
It's like there is no structure. Really.
Et on se dit, c'est ça l'église?
And we're looking at the church. Is that the church?
Où on va là?
Where are we going?
C'est ça ma vie?
This is my life.
Qu'est-ce que je suis en train de faire là? Comment Dieu peut être avec moi?
When God will be with me?
Mais vous savez, il est très important d'avoir en tête une deuxième pierre.
But we need to remember that there is a second stone.
C'est celle dont il est parlé.
And that's the one he's talking about here.
On parle de la première et c'est bien, c'est la pierre d'angle.
So we have the cornerstone and the first one.
Ça, c'est depuis Acte 2.
And this is Act chapter 2.
Mais il y a une pierre qui va être posée à la fin.
But there is a stone that is put at the end of the building.
Parce que quand on construisait une maison, pour vérifier qu'elle était relativement bien construite.
So when we built a house at the time to make sure it was well built.
Le toit ou les dernières parties du bâtiment étaient construites.
So we had the last part of the house being built.
Et on mettait une pierre parfaite qui devait être posée dans l'emplacement pour vérifier que tout était cohérent.
There was like this last stone that was put in one place that was actually making sure that everything was perfect.
Et donc la première était parfaite.
The first one had to be
et
perfect.
La dernière était parfaite.
And the last one had to
et donc
fit
ça voulait
perfectly.
Dire que le bâtiment allait tenir.
And that means that the building was going to be holding.
Et c'est ce que Dieu est en train de faire lorsqu'il bâtit son église.
And this is what God does when he built his
church. Nous on a l'impression des fois que les choses sont un peu bancales.
We look at the church and think, oh, it's not really, it's wobbly, you know.
Mais quand l'épouse sera prête.
But when the church, the bride will be ready.
Cette pierre de tête là, la pierre de fête en français.
The
pierre principale.
The main stone.
Elle va être posée.
Will be put on top.
Et là, on va voir, wow.
And I will say, wow.
Dieu a bâti son église.
God, he built his church.
Et nous qui sommes le temple du Saint-Esprit, c'est la même chose.
It's the same for us as the temple of the Holy
L'œuvre
Spirit.
Qu'il a commencé dans notre vie.
The work that he started in our life.
Il va l'achever jusqu'à la fin.
He will finish it to the end.
Et quand on va rencontrer Christ,
and when we will meet Christ,
il y aura une pierre qui va être posée.
There will be a stone that will be
la
put,
dernière pierre.
The capstone.
Et on va louer Dieu pour ce qu'il aura fait
and,
dans notre vie.
And we will worship God for what he has done in our
oui,
lives.
Il y aura eu des saisons d'exil.
Yes, there is exile.
Oui, il y aura eu des ruines.
Yes, there is ruins.
Oui, il y aura eu des chantiers.
Yes, there is some work
des déceptions, des interrogations.
Maybe questions and deceptions.
Parfois, le temple que nous sommes, c'est un peu de l'art abstrait.
And sometimes when we look at our lives, we look at the abstract art.
Mais à la fin,
but at the end,
ce sera solide.
It will be solid.
Et la dernière pierre sera
and
posée.
The last stone will be put on top.
Et donc aujourd'hui, j'ai envie d'adorer Dieu pour cette première pierre.
So today I can worship God. I want to worship God for the first
stone. Mais par la foi, j'adore Dieu pour la dernière.
By faith, I'm worshiping God for the last stone.
Et ce qui fait qu'aujourd'hui, je me sens en sécurité.
And today I feel secure.
Je ne vois pas tout.
I don't see everything.
Mais par la foi,
but by faith,
je vois mes vêtements.
I see my clothes.
La robe de justice.
I see the robe of righteousness.
Et le turban que vous mettez sur ma tête.
And I see the turban that you put on my head.
Que Dieu vous bénisse.
God bless you.
All right, you want to stand up, change your position. Bible talks a lot about high places. On the face of the globe, there is the highest place, which is Mount Everest. And our next speaker, Pastor Rajan, lives in the shadow of that mountain. He comes to us from Nepal. Would you welcome him?
Good morning. And evening also in Nepal. There is evening. Just I'm saying the Nepali people for the good evening. Sometimes it's difficult to me understand, you know, this time and everything, but it's okay. Just first of all, I'll just you'll understand me, my English, I think. You know, we'll understand otherwise in the heaven, same language. But I try to understand right now. That's my pronunciation is a little bit difficult, but you try to understand. I'm sharing about a little bit in Nepal, and greetings from Nepal, and our church in Nepal. Also, you know, Pastor Carl also send you greetings to with me, and he's an amazing man, and he's pastoring to me. He's my pastor actually, you know, just he's doing, and thank you for the Pastor Sal and Pastor Sivali. That's a good time we do Nepal. Nepal, there is two big countries. One is China. He's 77 times bigger than Nepal. And other side is India, 22 times bigger than. And we are a small country. But it's three parts. One part is plain, and then other parts is a mountain, a hilly part, and other is a mountain parts. And some place is difficult to go, each place to another place. We have to walk. There is no any transportation. People are asking me about horse. What about horse? Yes, there will be horse. But they are not money for the feeding their children. How can they feed the horse? You know, horse is taking lots of money. That's what, just I'm saying, you think about that, Nepal. And 30 million people live in Nepal. And maybe 50% area is unreached. There is a unreached area, lots of place, and that's why we need your prayer to reach. And my vision, we have 75 districts in Nepal, and each district will be one church. This is vision. That's why we start the Bible school, and we train people in the Bible school 3 and 4 years, and we send them. That's why Pastor John with us. Can you stand, Pastor John? And Diana, yes. That's thank you for the Pastor sending for us, them with us. That's very helpful for the classes and everything. And we train people and send. All the people, they are in 20 to 30 years Bible college student we have. And but you know, just all our country people, they want to go Middle East for the work. But you know, just we got a student we have right now, over 30 resident student in our Bible college. And every year, 5 to 10 people will be graduate, and they ready to go mission field. That's the main strategy is this. We train people and we sending people. This is, and I like, you know, just Maryland Bible College and Seminary slogan. That's I like that. Come, grow, and go. That's, you know, that's I like that. You know, we are saying, doing the same thing. And I preach through radio. Radio goes to all over the Nepal. One set, this is a government radio. 75 district, and also in the Bhutan, and also in some parts of the India. Right now, 3,000 Bible correspondent student we have in the through radio. 90% unbeliever write us in later about the knowing Jesus Christ. And every year 500 people they graduate from our Bible correspondent course. This is every year. That's our thinking. And this is our work. Right now, just we sent 6 months before 10 missionaries, different parts, unmarried, but we send the mission field. They are doing very good job and keeping pray for us. That's just you find out about Nepal. That's what I'm saying. You know, that's thank you for your praying. And I think Pastor Sal and the whole team, Pastor Sivali, this whole team pray for us. That's why we able to do that things. Today I'm sharing little small thought, you know, just Psalm 133 verse 1. I'm reading one verse. See how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to live together in unity. This came in my mind in this conference, you know, built upon the rock. You see, everyone knows our rock is Jesus Christ. But, you know, just a building process, we had an earthquake, everyone knows that, you know, just in Nepal 2 years before, and the big earthquake, and lots of houses cracked by the earthquake, because they are not building properly. They are not building the properly, that's why they are going to crack. Some still in the standing. This means, you know, construction system, that's the main thing is that's important is the cornerstone. That is, you know, just that cornerstone. I'm thinking that, you know, just, you know, all the house measured by that stone. You know, their length and weight and everything is, you know, just that stone. I'm thinking, you know, that is our Christ Jesus in Ephesians 2:20. You know, that's our chief cornerstone, is Jesus Christ. And then we all the measure by, you know, just that. What is called in English, you know, just that's we are, our in country, they are other stone joining by they are measuring that stone, measuring by that tools, one kind of tools, I don't know, that's, you know, just they are measuring, and that's why the building will be, building will be the strong building. This means, you know, the cornerstone, and then foundation already finished. That's why we are going to. Thus, you show that there is a building, there is a join. This is most important. I think, you know, I'm thinking about this join. We need a cement, and right now is a very strong word. Join the two stone, the cement. And I'm thinking that, what is that cement? Pastor Salat, this morning in the pastor's session, he thought that, you know, just love. I think, you know, just that cement, without love, we cannot join these things. And 1 Corinthians 13, Pastor Shala today mentioned, and that's, I'm thinking that, you know, just zero, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, they have mentioned 0, 0, 0, and there's a zero. Same thing, so there's something they did in before, in the Genesis 11, they are going to build the tower, but they don't have cornerstone. They make themselves in brick. And they are trying to outside building the build. That's why this is, I think, you know, this is not wrong things. They are going to meet to make a tower. That's, I think, in my understanding, it's not wrong. But what is wrong? There is no cornerstone. There is no Jesus. That's why there's a Jesus. God told us not things is good. They have a unity. I think, you know, this I'm saying the one Psalm 133:1. This is a good to be a unity. This is a unity. We are a church, you know, just I'm saying that's a physical this church. This is church. I'm thinking that our cornerstone is Jesus Christ, and we are a church. And we can join each other to by love. And Pastor Alec, today morning I'm very touched in my heart, you know, just there is nothing, there is a zero. How many zero? There's no things. But it's put in one. Wow. 1 0. 1 1 0 2 double zero. That is I'm thinking that. And I'm a little bit talking about, you know, just, First Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. Thus, I'm thinking, love suffers long. Love is kind. Just think about that. Love does not envy. Pastor Sellers say the 16 things, I don't know, but I'm writing these things. Love does not bog. Love is not proud. Love does not behave rudely, and love does not seek its own way. Love is not provoked. Love does not think evil. Love does not rejoice in the iniquity. Love rejoices in the truth. Love rejoices in the truth. It's a cornerstone. Jesus Christ is our truth. That's why we love that. I'm thinking that, you know, so we love that. Love bears all things. Wow. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. That means, you know, we can build this type of the building. That's a rock built upon the rock. Our Lord, and we can build the building, and then we can reach all over the world. Sometimes I become a selfie. I want to reach the Nepal, but you know, Jesus died for the world. This is I'm thinking that. That's why I'm saying unity is good. And Psalm 133, one said, see how good and how pleasant it is for the brothers to live together in unity. Amen.
Okay, wow, that's so, if you have been in Nepal with Pastor Rajan, it's very impressive, his work. He has a vision to hit every state in the country of Nepal. I think there's 75. Did he say there were 75? And I think he has 37 churches in 25 different. And if you go, if you're a iPhone user, later you Google most dangerous roads in Nepal. It's a video. You see how they live there, how they walk, what the roads are like up on the edges of the mountains going up. I mean, in landslides and water and the whole thing, and people walking for days. I mean, it's another world. It's another world. It's amazing. And he said that what was the percentage of the country that is not reached? Was it 30%? 50, yeah, that's what I thought. 50% of the population not reached. At the airport in Kathmandu when we were there, we flew in, and I just went out through the air. I was like one of the first ones through. I went out and I just started to talk to the taxi drivers. And he said, one taxi driver that spoke English, he said, did you come here to go trekking or mountain climbing? I said, no, I'm a missionary. And he said, Bible? I go, yes. He goes, so this is totally, you know, just a taxi driver. And generally they know things, you know, about, he goes, oh, there are many people up in the mountains are reading the Bible. Many people. And what is happening is, you know, I feel, and like a lot of our brothers and sisters feel, that the Spirit, the only way is explained is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is moving there in that country. 15 years ago, you would be imprisoned for baptizing somebody if they got converted. If you gave a tract to somebody, you know, 15 years ago, you could go to prison for that. And now it's changed, you know. The government has changed. There's now more freedom. And something is going on in that country. I mean, really. I mean, people are coming to Christ in that country. And the work that the pastor is doing, and Pastor Post and Diane and the Indian churches, and I mean, it is exciting, honestly. It's amazing. And so we did a conference there a little while ago in May, one or two months ago, and there were 500 people, and they have been saved. They are spirit-filled, and they are confronting demons in villages. They are seeing salvations, deliverances, and people are turning to Christ from idolatry to Jesus Christ. And they don't like it. I mean, it's a Hindu nation, and there's a lot of elements that they don't like that. But they can't stop it. I mean, it's happening. It's really happening. So they keep this work in prayer. He mentioned Pastor Carl in Mumbai, and Susie, and the work in Mumbai is very important. And Pastor Carl, who's like just one of the most remarkable person I've ever met. I mean, he is amazing. What his faith, his spirit, his heart, his vision never stops talking about reaching all of India, reaching all of Nepal with the gospel. And it's remarkable. I mean, it's amazing. So we're just very thankful for that very much. We can do a little review here. Let's start from the beginning with Pastor Majek. Ask your neighbor, what is the word? What is that word? FOMO. What's FOMO mean? Yeah. Okay, second question. How many times did young people touch their smartphone a day? Yeah, you got the answer? This is a test. Next one. Life is like a beer commercial. What did he mean by that? What's life like after the beer commercial the next day? He also invited us to Warsaw in March. We should put it on our calendar, those dates. What are they, Pastor? March 6th through 10th. Would you write that down or put it in your iPhone? March 6th through 10th. And just say to your family, your wife, we got to go to Warsaw next year. And we have to learn how to say... Yeah, so just do that a few times. There are seven zh and s sounds in Polish. Imagine. He can do them all. So, yeah. That's easy. It's easy to speak Polish. There's 40 million that do. So we're okay. I mean, all of these messages, the heart for the lost people. Pastor Majek talking about lost people. And that we have the message. Pastor Bailey mentioned it last night. Beautiful, amazing, Pastor. We could hear the pastor's hearts in these men. It's so encouraging. Look around for souls, he said. Look around for Zacchaeus in the tree. Look around for the woman at the well. Wherever we are living, have a ministry to people. Learn how to say the unique thing. Learn how to draw somebody into a conversation. Learn how to talk. Learn how to listen. with Jesus at the woman at the well, I think he was asking her seven times, like he was waiting for her to talk. It's not a one-way communication, but he's like, you know, like hitting, like speaking to her heart. Find the place to talk to the hearts of people. One of the problems in our country is drug addiction, overdose. There are 60 people a day in Maryland alone that overdose on drugs, 60 cases. Some survive. Some survive, but this addiction is a plague on our country. And so learn how to talk, listen, reach out, draw people, and God will do the work. We're sure of it. Okay, so Pastor Majik's message, would you talk to your neighbor about it for a minute? Okay, next message, Pastor Texier's message from Zechariah. He made reference to chapter 3 and also chapter 4. And, boy, that mess, there's a lot in there. A lot in there. The cornerstone that starts the building and the squareness of it, because everything comes off of that, and then the final capstone that fits perfectly. I think of God working that way, as he said, that God is the beginner, the Alpha and the Omega. He begins it and he finishes it, and guess what? It's gonna be perfect, yeah. Yeah. But when we look at it today, we might look at things and see, you know, what is wrong. But faithful is he who has called us, who also will do it. And it everything working together for good. He also mentioned, I like this part, that instead of accusing ourselves or trying to justify ourselves, we learn to be quiet and get close to our advocate. Get close to our advocate. Remember the message the other night about the spaghetti and accusing and excusing? Let's just do an English study here for a second. We've got, we have two words, excuse, and another one like it, accuse. Do you know the difference between these two words? Excuse and accuse. All right. You want to explain it to your neighbor? What's the difference between the... Oh, no. Don't expect me to tell you. Oh, no. Ask your neighbor, what's the difference between those two words? Do the best you can. The clock is ticking. Okay. Where are these two words in the Bible? These two words are Romans 2, 14 and 15. The point, just without explaining it very much, we had the spaghetti illustration, and we said when we are moral, and the waiter falls with the spaghetti all coming down upon his head, and he looks at you, did you put your foot out there on purpose? If it was on purpose, then he accuses you, right? And he can tell when he looks at you by the smirk on your face, you know, that you are in, you know, he will accuse you of violating moral law. You shouldn't have done that. But if you are saying, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, that, please excuse me, I never meant it, I'm so sorry, then he excuses you. Okay? Pastor Texier said in his message, like basically get silent and leave the excusing and accusing world of morality and get close to your advocate and get to know who you really are. Because the spiritual world, the spirit world is not primarily a moral world. Spirit world, spiritual world is a relational world of love, relation, and it is a world of love. Love. You put love in a situation and there's freedom. You put love in a situation and there's growth. You put love in a situation and there's worship. And in the story that he told, and there were many elements to it, that we have a turban that we have on our head, and it says holiness to the Lord on it. The priest had this turban. And we are priests of God. And we are crowned by God with glory and honor. And this is our new identity. And it's a very real one. And when we are together in the body, we kind of recognize or discern the fact that God has crowned you. God honors you. So one of the reasons why this is a safe place, that the church is a safe place, is because we are not excusing or accusing each other. We're not really going around apologizing. We're not really going around justifying. We're just simply here in love, and we're recognizing our new identity in Christ. And it's very edifying. It builds us up. That's why we love it. I met a lady the other day on the sidewalk, Barbara Gordon, and I asked her, when was the last time you were here? She said, because she lives in Florida. And she watches on the internet, watches the services. And I said, when was the last time I saw you? She said, 13 years ago. That was the last time I here. I said, why did you come? She said, because of the body. That's all. I mean, the body. You know what I mean? It's like body life. Once you taste it, once you get a sense of our identity in Christ, the fact we have a turban on, and these clothes, and I like that point. I didn't know this was so good. He said they are like a set of clothes that you wear once, right? Like a bridal dress that the woman wears one day, but she may keep it the rest of her life hanging up in the closet. And I think my mother did. I think it was in the attic. I think her wedding dress was in the attic, you know. And she's 95 years old and probably still there. I mean, and in a way, like, we are so honored by God in a fresh way that our clothing never, it's kind of beyond time. We wear it, but it's continually new. It's always fresh. Our identity in who we are in Christ never wears out. And we wear it, it's almost like you put it on and it's like fresh in the new time and always there. You know, isn't that good? It's amazing that's how we now live. We are clothed with these garments and we have a garment of feast. He said, garment of feast every day. The righteousness of God. So talk with your neighbor about that for a second. Okay. Then, have any of you ever had problems that are kind of stubborn problems? You know, really hard to get free from them? Anybody? Okay, there are people that have plaguing problems that come back to them almost daily, and issues that they struggle with in their life, you know, plaguing problems. But what I heard in a message, both Pastor Texier and then Pastor Rajan, is that the Holy Spirit will teach us love. And Pastor Rajan mentioned this that we mentioned earlier in the morning with the pastors in the pastors' meeting, that if you put here 1 Corinthians 13, one way you can study it is that the first three verses are about the gifts of the Spirit, like speaking in tongues, prophesying, the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and then self-sacrifice even. And we said, David Jeremiah said, these are like zeros. If you have the gifts and you don't have love, then really you have nothing. So you could have the gifts of the Spirit, but they are really nothing without love. But if you have agape love, you could put a one at the front of the zero, and then you have a fortune. Without agape love, I have nothing, but with agape love, I actually have everything. And agape love is really at the heart of life. And the stubborn problems that you have to be dealt with by a constant diet of love, understanding love, receiving love, learning love. And it does take time sometimes because our stuff doesn't leave easily. In some cases, it just stubbornly is there. And it's sometimes in the realm of the identity, you know, who I am, my stage in life, my conditions in life, my circumstances in life, and my even plaguing thoughts from my childhood. A teacher told me I'm stupid, my mother or father are unhappy with me, or I never had a father, or I was beaten or abused, and so on. So there are stubborn things that will come back to you, and they may plague you, and you have to learn. And this is where, you know, what I'm sharing with you now is just from my heart and experience in the ministry. And it is very possible that you could constantly be wearing a turban and being dressed in a new identity and being walking in it and being healed by God through agape love. Now, the agape love is just to, I think tonight we're going to speak about it. And if you go through the chapter, there's what love is, two categories. What it is, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then what love is not. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And in my mind, agape is the Greek word for this love. My mind, if you and I could learn this subject, what love is and what love is not, it's like an awesome chapter because it defines for us how our stubborn problems can be gone. And if they come back, how we deal with them. How we think, how we process our life through Christ, through agape love. Now the expressions of the love, and I'll just finish here with this. The expressions of agape love in life, very practically, is simply in my mind and my thoughts, my words, how I talk to myself and so on. So we have the Bible. And that is why Pastor Stevens used to say, you need heavy dosages of Bible doctrine. You need to really have it fresh. You need a lot of Bible doctrine. We say an hour a day Bible doctrine, a time of digesting and thinking with God, and have it as a habit. Why not? We have a lot of daydreaming. We have a lot of like wandering in our mind. We also have a lot of television and phones and all the kinds of tools that a lot of talking and so on. But he said, what was it, FOMO? Fear of missing out, touching my phone 2,700 times in a day. Okay, but just think about my mind. The real power of my life is really in my heart and my mind. And what I'm putting in my heart and in my mind. And having the discipline of denying myself some information or, what I'm looking at and, how I'm just maybe wandering. I need to get some gravitas, some sobriety. That's I need that weight. Okay, so my mind is in my Bible, and then, and of course, the Holy Spirit filling me, Holy Spirit anointing us in a fresh way in our prayer life, quiet life, private life, obedience life, and then thirdly, as he said, the body life, and we'll put here the turban, meaning our new identity in the body, and you loving me in the mystery of our faith. And it is true, I am sure that people that have been here through these days, that you have been able to receive and relate to other body members in the Holy Spirit discernment and recognize each other in Christ, and there's automatically a connection of edification in him because God loves us, And there it is. That was amazing. So we had a beautiful morning, a lot to think about. And I think that if we could learn agape love, what it is and what it is not. Let me finish up. I got one more thing I want to... Where are we? We got plenty of time here. Which of us is the greatest? One of the things we didn't say in our pastor's wives meeting this morning, that if my wife and I, here we are as a couple, and there's the umbrella and the covering, and my wife and I, when the disciples were in their little group here, what was one of the things that they said, not in the presence of Jesus, but they would talk amongst themselves and they would say what? Which is the greatest? Which is the greatest? We wouldn't say it that way, but we would maybe put down another person a little bit. That'd be kind of putting ourselves up a little bit. Okay. Maybe that's carnal, right? That's not correct. How do I think about myself? Who is the greatest? So now I go home and I'm with my wife and I check with her the same idea, which is the greatest. So she's like very much now my covering for her is not a very good one. Guys, now we're talking about our church, or we're talking about people, and it's not agape love. And she may reinforce me in the way of thinking and comparing, or she may reinforce me in some way of thinking, because I'm not a good covering for her. Because what are we talking about? We're talking about people. We're making some comparison. And this is not a good covering for her. So I could be reinforcing in my wife a way of thinking that isn't agape love. And so the answer is not to talk carnally or to think in terms of problems. Here's another thing. We have a brother here, and he shared with us this morning over here that when I have a problem with my children, and my wife and I, and the child is a problem, let's say a real painful problem, like drug addiction. So we have a child who's addicted to drugs, or maybe homosexuality, or some other thing that contradicts your faith. And now you're hurt or wounded in your heart because you have a family problem. There's something that you don't like at all. And so now it puts pressure on the marriage. The problem of life can put pressure on the marriage. And what is needed in the marriage, regardless of the problem, what is it? Agape love, yeah. Agape love in how I think and what love is. And keeping our marriage, even though we both have some kind of depression or sadness about our family problem, we have something. It cannot be a stubborn problem that is going to grind our marriage into powder. There cannot be anything in this world or this life that would hurt, that would be a false covering or bring trouble into our marriage to the point where we would actually lose our orientation into what's the most important thing. God's the most, even though our children are of great value and importance, obviously, but there has to be something in our lives that will bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure everything. And that is agape love. So what we are saying here, is relating, let's see, we got this, that picture. We got this agape love where we are learning it, learning how to walk in it, learning to be a covering, learning to live in grace. By the way, there could be a family that learns grace in the church, but at home they live in legalism. There could be a family that learns grace and learns to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, but when they go home and they're under pressure, it becomes more an issue of morality than it is of spirituality. And spirituality is moral, but be careful. Let me say this. Listen, spirituality is moral, but spirituality will say to the adulteress, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's amazing. That's amazing. But the moral man can't handle that. A moral man has got to rule his house with an iron fist or do's and don'ts, and he cannot deal with stubborn problems. Stubborn problems can only be dealt with by agape love, by the Spirit of God. That's how stubborn problems get solved. And we get released by it from stubborn problems. I'm not talking about problems that just kind of come and go, but I mean stubborn problems that last for 10 years and 20 years that are there all the time, actually, except agape love is able to live in them and understand them, and they are not governing my life. Agape love is. That's amazing. So we're all learning it. And that's it. All right. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.